I am so excited to talk to you. I got to tell you, I spent the entire weekend reading Don't Start the Revolution Without Me.
Okay.
And I wanted to finish it before we spoke, and I did last night because I really couldn't put it down.
Oh, thank you.
And, well, you know what? Here's the thing. I wanted to find topics on which I disagree with you, and there are very few. I think I get that. What I want to start out with is how refreshing it is to hear someone just speak honestly from the heart, because we don't get enough of that from our elected officials today.
Well, I tend to agree with you, but does the country really want it?
I don't know. You know what? That's a good question. I don't know if the country wants it, but I think the country really needs it, because we've had so many years of politicians telling us what I think they think we want to hear instead of telling us what we need to know.
Yeah, that's true. I only question that in light of, and I use baseball as the example. When Jose Canseco came out and told the truth, what happened to him?
He was excoriated.
And what continues to happen to him today? He was the only one that was telling the truth about the steroids in baseball, and yet he was totally destroyed by the media, the public, the U.S. people, baseball, everyone else, and he remains that way today.
But then you have someone like, and sorry, my baseball is not the best, but Manny Ramirez, right, who was caught cheating, and now he's being welcomed back with open arms?
Well, you know, and that's our country today in a way. I get an interesting perspective, as you well see from the book, in the fact that I view the United States now from the outside looking in for over half the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish everyone in this country would have, and I know it's impossible, certainly, but I really wish everyone had that opportunity to do so. I think we would become a better country. If we looked at us from a viewpoint other than from the inside looking out.
Right. Well, you are living down in Cabo, in Baja, California. Now, for half the year, you're doing that since the book came out?
Yeah, I do it for, actually, it's becoming more than half the year generally now. And I live in a very rural, I live where there's no electricity, and I live an hour from pavement.
Wow. Well, and, I mean, you know, it sounds magnificent the way you describe
it. But for me, it was a case that I was at the age where I still wanted an adventure before, because, you know, the clock is turning for me. I'm 57 years old, and I have my health pretty well, and I wanted the ability to still go out and go on some adventures before Father Time catches you and makes it to where you can't do that anymore, which is approaching.
Right.
And so that's what I did, and that's what I currently do today. I've taken up surfing.
Oh, nice.
You know, and people don't realize that's an extreme dedication, especially at my age. In fact, I'll make this statement to you. If people were that dedicated to a religious endeavor as you have to be to surfing, would they call them religious bums?
Okay, well, that's a question to ponder. Jesse Ventura is with us. You know, one of the best cases you make in this book is for the need of a third party, or more than the two-party system under which we find ourselves. Although I got one point you made. You said you've never voted for a Democrat or a Republican for president, and I get that. And you even point out the fact that, you know, when you're voting for the lesser of two evils, you're still voting for an evil. But in my case, you know, for instance, voting against George Bush was something I had to do. And even voting against John McCain, if not only for John McCain, but the fear that Sarah Palin might somehow wind up president is strong enough, even if I didn't believe that Barack Obama would be good for the country, to make me vote against the McCain-Palin ticket.
Well, you know, that's a decision you make, but I've always viewed, shouldn't you be voting for someone rather than against someone?
Yes.
I believe that's the attitude you should take in voting, that you should look at candidates and say, okay, who do I want to vote for, and not go there and go, well, who do I need to stop? And unfortunately, yours is a reality, you know, and I agree with you. wholeheartedly, because I felt that the direction of the country was going in an awful way. I've already come out publicly and said George Bush is the worst president in my lifetime,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt. I mean, he even makes Nixon looks great.
Right.
You know, and I stand by that. But by the same token, when you vote Democrat, well, you're just getting part of the system. See, we have a corrupted system. And I believe that people are initially elected when they start in this system, that they're honest. But if they stay in it, it will force them to become corrupt. It will force them, because the system itself is corrupt. I mean, take a look at it. We have an entire elected system based upon the concept of panhandling and bribery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're comfortable with panhandling and bribery, you will thrive in this system. Well, I'm not comfortable with people who are comfortable with panhandling and bribery. You follow me?
I follow you 100%, and I'm with you all the way. But
and that's my point. By electing Democrats rather than Republicans and voting against them and this and that, you're not going to change the system. And the system requires to be changed now.
Right.
Remember what John Adams and Thomas Jefferson warned us of. They said the United States would not fall because of an outside source. It would fall from within when political parties became more important than the people in the government. And if you look today, it's so clear that decisions are made for the power of the party, not decisions being made for the good of the country.
Again, there's nothing I disagree with you on. The problem is that...
How can you continue to vote for Democrats and Republicans? We've got to break this if we're going to save our country. That's what the revolution's about.
Okay. Well, and the title of your book, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me.
Exactly.
I get it. So, all right. So, Jesse Ventura, you know, throughout the book, and now it's out in paperback, and you wrote a new foreword to it and a new ending to it, which when you were writing the book originally, George Bush was still in office, and there was a question of, were you going to run for the office of president in 2008? Mm-hmm. And now you're asking that about 2012. Well, here's the thing. I say, please do it, because we need somebody with your with your celebrity, with your vitality, with your experience of breaking through the system and becoming elected governor of Minnesota, who can actually, you know, you've got the bully pulpit, you've got the clout, you've got the charisma to do it. The problem is with most third party candidates is they don't.
Well, it isn't a matter of don't either. It's a matter, do you want to accept the war and the battle?
Mm-hmm.
Because coming in, you have no idea what it's like to face these two parties. Do you know that I am today the most powerful man in America?
In some ways, I can see that, absolutely.
Well, no, I'll tell you why.
Okay, please.
You name me, now President Obama's going to attempt to do what I did, but you name me another person who can get the Democrats in bed with the Republicans,
mm-hmm.
to oppose me, the moderate middle.
Right.
And that's what happened in Minnesota. My last year in office, the Dems and Republicans became one unit. They overrode my budget. They passed one of their own, which I vetoed twice, and they overrode both of my vetoes.
Wow.
Now, why did they do that? If they're so diametrically opposed to each other, and I'm the common sense middle, which I was, you know, I'm fiscally conservative, but I'm socially liberal,
mm-hmm.
which makes me in the middle, where at one time in this country I felt most people were. I don't know today. You know, I have a problem with this country today when I read statistics that state that over half of us think it's okay to torture.
Right.
Well, that tells me that I'm not mainstream anymore. That tells me my thoughts apparently have been left in history.
Well, I think people feel that way because they have Dick Cheney out there telling them that this was the right thing to do.
But don't they think for themselves?
No, I think we are a country of lemmings.
If we're going to be a country that stands by the rule of law, then you must stand by the rule of law even when it's inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing that. I mean, take, for example, didn't we invade Iraq because of chemical weapons? Wasn't that one of the reasons?
Well, that's what we were told.
Well, wait a minute now. How long have we been using chemical weapons? What's napalm?
Exactly.
That's a chemical weapon that we use all the time. Why do we have this hypocrisy that it's okay for us to do it, but no one else can?
Well, good question. We have nuclear weapons. Who are we to tell the North Koreans and the Iranians that they can't?
Well, again, those things can blow up the world. I don't think anybody should have
them. I agree with you.
You know,
but why can we
have
them?
Chemical weapons like napalm, I'm speaking at ground level warfare, not shooting rockets across around the world and blowing up half the planet. I'm talking at ground level warfare. We've been using napalm since Vietnam, and napalm's a chemical weapon.
Yep.
And, and white phosphorus. I saw that was just being used against the Palestinians.
That's right.
And those are all chemical weapons. And yet what troubles me about my country today is we have such tunnel vision that as long as we do it, it's okay, as long as we're the beneficiaries, regardless of what happens throughout the rest of the world.
I agree.
I myself today do not call myself necessarily, I am a citizen of the United States, but even more so I view myself as a citizen now of the world, having lived in Mexico for over half a year.
Well, okay, let's go there. Jesse Ventura is with us. You're living in Mexico half the year, and we are hearing right now that Mexico is a pretty damn dangerous place to be because of all the drug wars going on.
Well, look, that's a good topic to talk about. First of all, let me tell you this. I feel more in danger in Minneapolis than I do in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The danger in Mexico is all at the borders.
Right.
And why? Because of the prohibition of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Are we so stupid? There's an old saying that says, if you don't study history, you're destined to repeat it. I'm watching it being repeated in my lifetime, and this gets back to when you ask me why I don't run.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a good example why I don't run. Because we are so stupid today that we feel that murder is less important than marijuana.
Again.
In other words, what I'm saying is we would rather prohibit marijuana and have murder running rampant than we would legalize marijuana and have murder disappear.
Well, doesn't this go back to the fact that the lobbyists and the big corporate interests have such a stranglehold over
exactly,
this country?
Which takes me back to what I told you about the system.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to change the system. I tried to do it in Minnesota and fell on my face. Why? Because the public in Minnesota wouldn't back me. I tried to switch Minnesota to a unicameral government.
Mm-hmm.
One house.
Right.
Which every state should be that. There's no reason to have two houses at the state level. Now, at the federal level, yes.
Right,
otherwise,
because it's
California
representation.
Would run the country.
Sure.
But at the state level, you don't need two houses. It's ridiculous. It's a waste. It's unaccountable government.
Well, again, Jesse Ventura, you're speaking common sense, which is what this country needs a dose of right now.
Where were the people? They weren't there to back me. So if the people don't rise up, these elected officials won't do anything. See, always remember the people we're electing today, these are people, this is their careers. So they make career decisions. For me, it was never my career. So therefore, I could make decisions that these elected people we have can't today.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, it seems like there are so many forces, and again, I have to believe it comes down from the two-party system. You know, when you recounted your experience at MSNBC, I'm thinking, well, I don't remember Jesse Ventura having a show on MSNBC. What they did to you is censorship.
Exactly. And it goes on all the time. I don't believe we have a free media today.
No.
Not a bit. I believe our media is completely controlled by our government. And the media is supposed to be the fourth branch of government.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be the one. I mean, I've asked questions about 9/11. And what happens? You get attacked. Why? Why am I being forced to do the media's job? The media should be asking these questions about 9/11. and yet they're amazingly silent.
Well, and those that do are being accused of, you know, having the tinfoil hats on rather
exactly.
than doing their jobs.
Exactly. And why are we allowing that to happen? Is our free speech today that you're not allowed? I just did a TV pilot on 9/11, and I'm still betting it won't air, even though it's supposed to. And during this, we went to the government to hear their side. We couldn't get one government agency to even talk to me.
Wow.
Is this the United States of America, where the government can simply tell you something and you are not allowed to ask any questions about what they've told you?
No, but that's what it's
today.
I know. That's what it's become.
And do you believe that by electing Democrats it's going to change?
No. But
no.
Again, we go back to we need somebody who has the vitality, who has the
Well, right now I'm more focused on surfing.
I understand.
Tell the people of this country, show me that I should put, excuse my bluntness,
mm-hmm.
that I should put my ass on the line again. Why?
Right. Well, let me ask you this. In the book, towards the end of the book, you talk about a meeting you had with Bobby Kennedy.
Yep.
And it sounds, I mean, he is sensible. He's right on the money. And he actually does a show here on Air America as well. And
right.
he comes from a place of common sense. And he's got the name recognition, although he doesn't have the charisma that you have. But the two of you together.
Well, that's quite a compliment, telling a Kennedy that they don't have the charisma.
Well, you know what? As much as I love listening to Bobby Kennedy, he's tough to listen to.
Easy,
you know what I'm
that.
Saying. That's right. I understand.
Statement.
But the two of you together could be a really powerful force. Have there been
Absolutely
any more discussions since then?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Just as in the book, it requires Robert to do something.
Right, to leave the Democratic Party, which he says, if I do that, I lose all credibility, which I think it would give him a lot more credibility.
Which I agree. If a Kennedy runs as a Democrat, it's oh-hum.
Mm-hmm.
But if a Kennedy quit the Democrats and ran as an independent, that would be news.
Yes, it would.
And that's what, well, until I can't control Robert Kennedy Jr., he's his own man. I've already told him that the only way is you got to quit the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And until he would have the courage to sever the umbilical cord of his entire family legacy, it ain't going to happen.
Well, okay, then let's, you know, let's step back a second and look at where the Democratic Party is today. Barack Obama won a pretty overwhelming victory, especially with all that he was up against. And I'm talking
yeah.
race here and the prejudices that are ingrained in at least for another generation or two in this country.
Oh, yeah. Like I've already made the statement that President Obama couldn't win without the white people voting for him.
Oh, of course not.
You know, that's what it took.
Right.
You know, and I'm happy. I will say, let me state this. I did not vote for President Obama, as I did not vote for John McCain either. I do a protest vote.
Mm-hmm.
But the day that President Obama won, I turned to my wife and I said, you know, I feel real good today. And she said, why? I said, because I never believed in my lifetime we would have the courage to elect a black man president.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and I'm glad that I was alive to see that happen, that it happened in my lifetime.
Right.
You know, now, having said that, you know, Obama made a lot of grandiose promises in his speech, and it actually, his speech was the best I'd heard since John F. Kennedy, but it was also the scariest that I heard since John F. Kennedy.
In what way?
Because I turned to my wife, I said, if he attempts to do all this, he's going to be assassinated.
Mm-hmm. So is that why?
You know, and the power structures that he's going to take on. Now, having said that, let me state this to you. When you tell me I ought to run for president,
mm-hmm.
I believe that if I ran for president and if the polls made it look like I might win, I believe that the truth of my book would come true.
You believe that the truth of your book would come true?
The end of it, that last chapter
mm-hmm.
of the first part of it, of the first book before I rewrote the paperback.
Right.
I believe that would come true. I don't believe the power structure of this country would allow a rogue like me to become the leader. Can I say it any more simple?
No, and unfortunately, I agree with you, And I don't think you should martyr yourself. That I think this country still has a long way to go. I think people are so into, you know, look, just
past my lifetime.
Right. Well, you look at the coverage of Michael Jackson. Unfortunately, it happens because that's what people, I guess, want to watch.
It's a concentrated dumbing down of our country. Of them believing that's what we want to watch.
Yeah, I think you're right, because polls are saying that...
The better example, more so than Michael, Michael's at least an international, huge megastar.
Mm-hmm.
How about the one-month coverage we had on the death of Anna Nicole Smith?
Right, yep.
That, I thought, was far worse.
I agree.
I mean, here at least Michael Jackson had talent. Michael Jackson had the biggest record album in the history of the world.
Right, and a whole generation grew up with him, and he did
Anna
contribute
Nicole
to society.
Smith did
right.
nothing.
You're right.
And
you're
right. She got a month's coverage.
Yep.
She got more coverage than the murder of John Kennedy.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's a real problem there. But
and
also,
why is
here,
that?
Well,
here's why. It is because our news is now in the entertainment business to make money.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes back to making money.
That's right.
And when the news sells itself out to making money, like when you got Hannity and O'Reilly and Olbermann and all these people doing entertainment rather than news, that's the downfall. And if we're dumb enough to be watching that stuff, then we get what we get.
Right.
The dumbing down of America.
But let me ask you this. Governor Jesse Ventura here with us. Barack Obama elected with an overwhelming, you know, victory, more than anyone thought he could possibly get, especially at the beginning of the election, on a platform of change. We're going to change. And that's what people went for, was the change. But we're getting, and I know you say it's too early. We're 6 months into it. I get that. And I appreciate you even saying give him time. It's this big machine that you can't just turn on a dime. I understand
exactly.
that. But we're getting a lot of, you know, he transparency was one of his clarion calls, and yet we're getting a lot of the same secrets, a lot of the same Bush policies that he is upholding that I'm really troubled by.
I am too, because it goes to show you that, as I've said, it doesn't matter which party is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the same thing.
So how do we fix it if it's not Jesse Ventura?
Out of office.
Right.
There's only one way to fix it, and that is to vote anti-Democrat and Republican.
But we need good candidates
in
that third party.
And again, you're not going to accomplish this overnight.
Mm-hmm.
The first step should be this. Every election, be it local, statewide, or federal, should have the option none of the above.
Yeah.
And people laugh at that. But what that truly means, it's a vote of no confidence in your government. Now, I'm willing to bet that if that option were put on there, there would actually be elections where none of the above would win.
I agree with you. I'd take that choice.
And that's a huge step, because imagine if you were elected but you lost to none of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that make you kind of reevaluate yourself?
Absolutely.
Well, there's a start.
Yep.
And again, you're not going to change this system overnight. You're not going to walk into it and say, okay, from now on, there will be three major parties in this country, and we'll get three choices rather than Coke and Pepsi. That's how I like to put it into for the layman. I tell them it's like walking into the grocery store, and you go to the soft drink department, and the only choices are Coke and Pepsi. They're both colas, one slightly sweeter than the other, depending on your taste buds. And that's the choice you're given.
Mm-hmm.
There's no root beer. There's no Mountain Dew. There's no 7-Up. There's nothing else, just Coke and Pepsi. Imagine, and that's the government we have today.
Well, it is. But you know what? Even when you get that third-party choice, an alternative, you even mentioned Ross Perot basically screwed up the Reform Party, right?
Oh, certainly he did.
Because he put himself first.
He allowed his ego to get in the way of the real, of allowing the movement to grow beyond him, which was unfortunate. But here's where third parties are powerful. The fact is that because the two parties do not, they want to control and keep the game within themselves,
mm-hmm.
whatever the third party rears its head, That's the issue they'll concentrate on. We can control the agenda.
Okay.
Because they want so badly to keep us out of the game that they will pay attention to whatever it is that brings us into the game.
I see that, and that's
a
good point.
Well, it happened with Perot. What was Perot's main theme back in 92? The budget deficit.
Right.
All right. What did the Democrats and Republicans focus on back in the 90s? The budget deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Now they no longer have focused on it, and that deficit has gone astronomically big. You know, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Maybe you can help me, layman me.
Okay.
How is it that we can give out foreign aid when we're so far in debt we couldn't even pay our own debt? How do we give out foreign aid?
I have no idea.
Isn't that a good question?
It's a really good question.
And yet no one ever can ever
answer. How do we spend $1 trillion on a war when we can't give health insurance to our people here?
Well, and I just read a thing where Egypt is the top foreign aid receiver next to Israel.
What?
And I thought, how could we give Egypt foreign aid when we're so far in debt that, you know, we don't even own ourselves anymore?
No, China owns us right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But here's my question for you about third
maybe
party.
Maybe that's why I shouldn't be president, because I don't get it.
Well, but maybe that's why you should be president, because you don't get the things that don't make sense. Here's the problem with the third party. I see, you know what, every 4 years, look, we had Cynthia McKinney running as the Green Party candidate. Well, the Green Party might be able to do something if they're visible more than once every 4 years. And
they won't.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Please.
The rise of the third party has to be centrist.
I got you. Can't be too far left.
The Green Party is farther left than the Democrats.
Right. So well, I don't think the Democrats are very far left.
You're dealing with the fringe element.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to, you have to be where I'm at, centrist, in the middle. Because what happens with the two parties is this. When two candidates from the two parties go after their endorsements, they have to sell their soul. The Republican sells his soul to the far right. The Democrat sells his soul to the far left. As soon as they get the nomination, they both then beeline back to the center.
Sure.
Because it's the center that's going to elect them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem was I had the center occupied. They couldn't get back in. So if a third party is going to be successful, it cannot be a party that's farther right than the Republicans or farther left than the Democrats.
Well, I understand that, but don't we need
to be in the middle?
Don't we need
the
this
common sense middle?
Don't we need this third party who is to be present even during now the off years?
Well, but how the problem is we have in Minnesota 4 major parties. The Republicans, the Democrats, my Independence Party, and the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have about 5 other parties, the Libertarians, this and that, and this and that. When I was governor, I brought them all together. And I said, look, can't we find common ground to where we put forth one candidate that we can all vote for to counteract the Democrats and Republicans and make us truly a force? And I said, there must be something we all have in common, and we found it. Campaign finance. None of us took dirty money. None of us took corporate money. We were clean. And I couldn't even build from there. Because they won't. These third parties will not come together. They all have their own little pet agenda. And if that's not the priority, if that's the priority more than combating the Democrats and Republicans and winning on the big picture. See, that's the problem you have. The third party movement remains fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
And well, bringing it together is like herding cats.
And the other thing you brought up, I understand campaign finance reform in terms of any legislation we've seen is not real, but that's what we need. If we can't get money out of the election process, then we're never going to be able to turn things around. Because I disagree. I think it needs to be out totally.
I've become a believer that take the parties out of it, full disclosure and no limits.
Mm.
But everything falls on the candidate. There's now no more parties involved. that candidate's committee accepts all the money, all the advertising, and therefore all the responsibility. And full disclosure. Take, for example, if I ran for president, all right, I'm good friends with Mark Cuban, Donald Trump, and Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
If they all gave me $30 million apiece, and I had to fully disclose that to the American public, well, then the public would at least know who owned me, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but they don't pay attention.
Well, then I have an answer for that, too. Let's put all candidates in NASCAR driving suits so that they have to wear patches. And that way, when we view them, like in NASCAR, we can see who owns them.
I like that.
You know,
yep.
I came up with that idea, too. I said, let's put the Democrats and Republicans, force them to wear NASCAR racing suits.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can see who their highest donors are, and that way we know who owns them.
I gotcha.
Isn't that better? At least then we know, don't we?
Yes, but I'm all for getting the money out of it entirely and putting term limits in place, too.
That can't happen.
Yeah.
So it's better then to look at full disclosure.
Yep.
And limit it. No more of the parties. Because that's where they get their plausible denial.
Yeah.
That's where they can put on these lying ads that completely lie.
They all lie.
And get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you put everything on the onus of everything on the back of the candidate, then the candidate himself will live or die with that election by what they put out.
I gotcha. Now, but you know what? I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, Jesse Ventura, about two things that are happening, well, this week, right now, with two, you've got Al Franken being sworn in Minnesota probably tomorrow, right? And you have Governor Sarah Palin and her circus resigning. I mean,
let me cover Franken first.
Okay, please.
You know, everyone's making a big deal about what happened in Minnesota, and all it was the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the election was so close. It was like only 100 and some votes apart,
right,
or whatever it was initially. It was under 1,000 votes apart.
Yes.
So I believe state law requires an automatic recount.
Right.
So that took place.
Yeah.
Well, then there's also, you have the court system, which everyone's entitled to use,
mm-hmm,
to question, and Senator Coleman used it. Well, you know how slow the courts can be. The whole process, in other words, took 6 months to complete. Could it be done better? Maybe. Clearly you want it to be accurate, and clearly you want it to be right.
That's true.
If you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it takes more time to get it done that way, isn't that the prudent thing to do?
Yeah.
And did the country fail in the meantime? No. You know, life went on.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's much ado about nothing, really. It's just the system and how it works.
Okay.
And both the candidates are entitled to exploit the system.
You're right.
So what's the, you know?
Okay. All right. So there's so
there. Now,
finally.
What was the second part again? Took care of Franken, and what was the second one?
Sarah Palin.
Oh, Sarah Palin. Well, let me put it to you this way. And this is to all the Republicans out there, the tough guys, all the ones that never serve in the military but tell you how tough they are.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin could never make it into the Navy SEALs.
You're probably.
Because when you don't quit.
Yeah.
And I think this is appalling that she made a promise to the people of Alaska that she wanted that job. Why do you think I didn't run for president in 2000? I could have won that race. Bush Gore won.
Mm-hmm.
No one cared. This was pre-9/11.
Right.
I remember people saying they were yawning. They didn't even want to vote. I was driving in New York City and a worker pointed and said the wrong governor's running for president.
Mm.
But do you know why I never contemplated doing it? Because I made a promise to the people of Minnesota that I wanted to be their governor. And that promise was a 4-year commitment, the same as I promised my country when I raised my hand and took an oath to go into the United States Navy. You can't go into the United States Navy and quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, the same, in my opinion, holds true. When you tell the voting public that you want this job, unless it's physical or you've committed a crime, you should complete that job.
Well, there are those allegations. There are those allegations.
Well, I don't know about any of that, but the point of the matter is, if you raise your hand and tell the public you want the job as governor, How could I trust Sarah Palin if she runs for president now? She could get halfway in, the going could get tough, and she could quit.
Yep.
You know, that she's a quitter. That's what it shows me.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Navy SEALs, we don't have time for quitters. That's the guys that ring the bell. And I'll tell you this. My class that I graduated at Navy SEAL training, I remember every guy that I graduated with. I don't remember one person who quit today. Not one.
All
and
right.
So Sarah Palin falls into that category. She rang the bell and quit.
Yep.
That's how I view it. And if she's doing this for higher political aspirations, I think she made a tragic mistake, because I know for certain I would, not that I would have voted for her anyway,
mm-hmm.
but I know now with by quitting, I would never vote for her. I didn't even do that in Minnesota, and I actually thought about it with a month to go.
Right, you said that, and you said
yeah,
to know.
Because
you...
I thought about it because May Shunk, my lieutenant governor, that would have made her the first female governor of Minnesota. And I did it only with the thoughts of stealing the thunder from the Democrats and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
That it would be a great way to go out with like 2 weeks to go, would be to resign, let May become governor for 2 weeks, and that way she officially would get her portrait up at the Capitol.
Right.
As the first governor of Minnesota from an independent party. But then I never consulted May about it, and I know she wouldn't have wanted to do that because I know the integrity that she has. But the little devil in me, you know, which I do have.
Yes.
The Navy SEAL that lurks deep down within me, if we don't get mad, we get even. Well, that reared its head there, but fortunately I kept it under control.
Governor Jesse Ventura, I could go on, and there's so many topics we didn't even cover. You're teaching at Harvard, which just sounds like it was an amazing experience.
It was. Let me add quickly. I'll enjoy, if I'm given the opportunity to go back, I'll jump at it, because I never got a chance to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I went in the Navy right out of high school, so this was my opportunity to go and to be able to go to a school like Harvard. I mean, only in America can someone with only a high school education be a Harvard professor.
How cool. And it sounds like it was great in terms of you even getting to go and audit other classes and people being able to come and experience your class as well. I think you're saying so much that the American people need to hear. So,
well, hopefully so. But my problem is, are the American people listening?
Well, but they're, you know, what they're listening to is American Idol. And,
and I can't outperform that.
But then the choice that we have is more of the same, and unless there's someone else waiting in the wings to say the things you're saying, which
I'm
happening.
I'm lucky because I do it for 6 months, and then I get a reprieve, and I get to go surfing for 6 months. So that rejuvenates me and allows me to recharge my batteries to come up here. It also is a good Navy SEAL tactic. You know, we hit, and then we escape.
Mm-hmm.
And I leave you with all the mess then while I go down surfing.
Right. Well, that's not fair. Can I come surfing too? Well, I've so enjoyed speaking with you, as I said.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. It's enjoyable. And let me comment to you that you seem to have a terrific show, because you get to the heart of the issues and you allow people to talk, which is a rarity today.
Well, thank you so much. And I hope you'll join me again.
Would love to.
Terrific.
Anytime.
Thank you so much. It's been a real
thank
honor.
You. Bye-bye. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.